Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this, the Planning Control Committee of North Arts District Council. We're at the Spiral Ballroom, and the date is Thursday, 9th of November, and by the one watch at least, it's about 7:30. I'll go straight into the agenda. First and foremost, we'll look at the apologies, and we'll have apologies this evening from Bill Davidson, Mike Rice, and Harry Spencer Smith. I'd like to welcome Faye Frost, who is substituted for Councillor Davidson. I'd like to welcome Val Shanley, who is substituted for Councillor Rice. And Councillor Ben Lewis, who was going to be substituted for Councillor Spencer Smith, has informed us he's stuck in that, so we'll take that as an excuse.
And Mr. Chairman, also.
Councillors, you have received it.
Also, apologies from Councillor Steers Henscombe.
Apologies from Councillor Steers Henscombe as well. Can we also have the automated safety notice, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Spiral Ballroom. Please note the fire exits are situated in the three corners of this room and are indicated by the green running man symbol. In the event of evacuation, please do not use the lifts. In a fire emergency, a continuous warning tone will operate. Should this happen, you must leave the building by the nearest fire exit and assemble at the far side of the car park. Arrangements are in place for safe evacuation of mobility impaired persons. Please speak to supervising staff in order that the emergency procedures can be explained. The entire Spiral complex is a no-smoking area. Should you wish to smoke, it will be necessary to leave the building. An induction loop facility is available for hearing aid users. Please turn your hearing aid to the T or telephone setting. To avoid disruption of performances, members of the audience are asked to turn off all mobile devices. Thank you.
Thank you for that. So we'll go on to item number two. Councillors, you have been circulated with the minutes of the meeting of the 28th of September. I hope you've had time to digest them. Are there any amendments or comments that you'd like to make, or may I take them for it? Thank you. Okay. And again, item number three was the minutes of the 12th of October. Similar circumstances, may I take those for it, or do you have any comments? Thank you. I have no notification of other business. Members of the public and the press may use their devices to film or photograph or do a sound recording of the meeting. But please raise your hand to let me know that you're doing this so that I can inform all present. Please do not use flash and disable any beeps or other sound notifications that may emit from your device. In addition, can I remind all present that in line with council policy, this meeting is being audio recorded. And so, guest speakers, please wait until they have a microphone before speaking. Please could members, officers and public speakers announce their names each time they speak and speak directly into the microphones to assist members of the public. To clarify matters for the registered speakers, members of the public have 5 minutes for each group of speakers. That is 5 minutes for the objectors and 5 minutes for the supporters. This 5 minute time limit also applies to member advocates. The bell will sound after 4.5 minutes as a warning and again at 5 minutes to signify that the speaker must cease. Members are reminded that any declarations of interest in respect of any business set out in the agenda should be declared as either a disclosable pecuniary interest or declarable interest, and are required to notify the chairman of the nature of any interest declared at the commencement of the relevant item on the agenda. Members declaring a disclosable pecuniary interest must withdraw from the meeting for the duration of the item. Members declaring a declarable interest, which requires they leave the room under paragraph 7.4 of the Code of Conduct, can speak on the item, but must leave the room before the debate and vote. There are a number of speakers this evening of public participation, and I will introduce those as we get to them, if that's okay with you. So without further ado, we'll go on to item number 7, which is page 1 on your agenda, and this is to discuss and debate the land north of Luton Road, Offaly, and I'd like to introduce and ask Mr. Simon Ellis to introduce the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Following further comments from the local flood authority, they maintain an objection to the application and recommend an additional reason for refusal of permission, which I also recommend and to add to the three reasons set out in the recommendation. The reasons technical, it's about insufficient information, but I'll just read it for the purposes of the record. The flood risk assessment carried out by NLN Consulting, and they give the full reference number, dated 27th of September 2017, does not provide a suitable basis for assessment to be made of the flood risks arising from the proposed development, as it does not demonstrate a feasible discharge location. So I'm suggesting that we add that to the reasons for refusal, as recommended, reason for refusal number 4. I'll now go through the slides, and then I've just got a couple of other comments to make as well. So here's the aerial photograph of the site. Here's the site boundary. And here's the little post office there in Offaly. That's a little road heading out of the village there. And this is the site of the Crowdace development, which we're familiar with. Very successful development in there. This photograph's taken from Luton Road, looking onto the site directly, just straight off the carriageway. Second photograph is taken from the existing entrance to the site next to the post office. And this is slightly further into the site, just in the entrance, looking along. You've got the Luton Road behind this hedge here, it's looking across the allotments. Site there. This one's a slightly wider version of the site from the same location. And this is a photograph taken from the Luton Road itself, showing the carriageway and the footpath on either side. And this is the bend coming into the village. So there's the road there, and the site's just in here. So then there's the site plan, and as you know, as it said in the report, this is an outline plan application with all the details reserved. So that's about all you're going to get. It's just an illustration of what we call the development framework, just showing the concepts really. This is the idea of the location of a new shop, and this is roughly where they're suggesting open space, and you've got the flood attenuation there. So they're showing you that they wouldn't necessarily seek to develop the whole site, and I think what they're trying to demonstrate here is that they could sort of form an edge to the village if you were minded to grant planning permission. So not to be misled by that, and they're not suggesting that you would count development into that location there. Just a few further updates if I may, Chairman. As it says in the report, I'll just refer members to paragraph 4.41. And this sets out the time of things. So the applicant has already lodged an appeal against the fact that the council has not determined the planning application within the statutory period. However, the position remains the same, as we have not had confirmation from the planning inspector that the appeal has been registered. And most importantly, an official start date has not been provided by the planning inspector. So on that basis, as of today, the council remain the determining authority and members are able to make a decision on the application today. We have a potentially changing policy context related to this site and this application. Under the SAVE policies of the current local plan, this site sits within the rural area beyond the Greenbelt and is therefore contrary to policy 6 of the SAVE local plan, and that's in recommended reason for refusal 1. Whereas the submission local plan seeks to change this site designation to a wider and new Greenbelt designation. This proposal to expand the Greenbelt can only be given some weight at present, as it is not being passed the examination of the local plan. And until the inspector who examines the local plan agrees this, and the council subsequently agrees to adopt the new local plan, the site will not become greenbelt. So in terms of future changes, the council may need to revise its position on this application and any future appeal, depending on the outcome of the local plan and the timing of any appeal hearing. These factors are outside the control of this committee. So I can only offer you this recommendation based on my assessment of the current policy position, and the recommendation reflects that position. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. have registered speakers this evening, and first and foremost, could I welcome and invite Mrs. Patricia Cowley from the Offaly Residents Action Committee, who speak to object to the application.
Is seen by the residents of Offaly as a purely speculative application, especially as the applicant had no public consultation with either the parish council or the Duke of Offaly. The landowners and their agents, Landon, had ample opportunity to put this site forward when the council were asking landowners to come forward a few years ago. They did not do this. So why now? Offaly has very recently had a large development of 63 houses and flats, and any granting of permission on this scale would see the urbanisation of yet another village in our parts, therefore eroding the whole concept of a village. This appears to be happening not only in our parts, but to a huge extent in our close neighbour central beds. There are several negative comments from various consultees, and Mr. Ellis has just pointed out one about the clubhouse in the report, and the proposal by the applicant is completely silent on the planning obligations contributions, section 106 contributions. The applicants mention a new retail outlet stroke shop in the plans. The village already has a shop and post office, two pubs, a Chinese restaurant, Offaly Place Hotel and function venue, a hairdresser, a recreation centre and club, and the thriving village hall. The site would, of course, provide some affordable housing, 28 units in all. There is no guarantee that anyone needing housing from Offaly would be in line to rent. Neither would many young people in the village be able to afford the so-called affordable housing, going by the recent development where the affordable housing was over £300,000. The recent Garden Fields development saw most of the houses being of 4 and 5 bedroom type, large and expensive, not likely to meet the needs of many in Offaly. There are a few opportunities also for employment in Offaly, which would ultimately mean that the residents of any new development would be driving in and out of Offaly for employment and many other facilities, therefore exacerbating the traffic congestion in and around Lilley, Luton and Hitchin. Need I say more? This application is unwelcome, superfluous to needs, and purely speculative. Please, members, be minded to refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Members, are there any questions on the clarification of any of the things you've heard? No. Sorry, I'll call you back unnecessarily. Thank you for your presentation. I'd now like to welcome Councillor Claire Strong, who is going to speak to us as the member advocate. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Chairman. Good evening, members of the Planning Committee, and ladies and gentlemen, officers. Yet again, I find myself here again in front of you when there is a site of proposal for one of the villages that I represent. What can one say for this particular development? It is outside the village boundary. It is a large development, and I think if you're looking at the map up there, you can actually see that it, in terms of the size, that it will actually be very detrimental in the effect that it will have on the village. And one thing, first, I would really like you to consider when you are thinking about, and I hope, a refusal for this application, that you would add, I was going to say a fourth, but now we've got one on flooding, I would ask maybe you consider a fifth reason for refusal, and that is that given the size of the proposals, this would have a detrimental effect to the village and the amenities and would be deemed as overdevelopment. So I would hope you'd be minded to add that onto the list of reasons for refusal. Now, as you all know, we have been going through and developing our local plan. This is not one of the sites that was in any of the documentation of any of the proposals or any of the sites when we did all the sites for looking to have development in villages. What Offaly did have, though, was a site, and this came in very early as we started our development, started working on our local plans, and that was the site that you heard referred to as Garden Fields, which is sort of in the middle of the village. It was seen as a bit of infill, and it was 63 houses. This has had an effect on the village, although the village, in some respects, did welcome it, but it was a large development, which has, to a certain extent, been absorbed, as have also other developments that the village has seen over the years. These have been much smaller in scale, when there have been 2 to 3 houses, or up to 5 houses, going to little plots of land. And there are still little other little plots of land within Offaly, which I'm sure will come forward for further development over the years. But this development, nobody wants it in the village. There was a public meeting held in the village, which I attended. There was standing room only in that village, just to sort of let you feel the gauge of the support that the village was all behind, wanting to oppose this development. Many of the local residents are here tonight to hear and watch you see what you're going to do with this development, because they do not want it. As we know, we are waiting for the inspector to make his decision on our local plan, and I very much hope that the inspector will determine that we have a sound plan, that we have found all the housing that we need for our district, and therefore we do not need to be looking at alternative sites, and we certainly do not need to be looking at this one. I also hope that when we see the local plan, we will have this land redesignated so that it is land beyond Greenbelt, becomes Greenbelt land, and that will put a final end to any development here. Because there, in my mind, there is no special circumstance that we should be looking to put any development further into the village of Offaly. Offaly has done its bit, and I think that what they have done has been sufficient to meet the local needs. So I would ask that tonight, if you do refuse, and I would remind you that I would be looking that you would put a further item of refusal, that one that is one of the size of this proposal would determine area development which would be detrimental to the village. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Councillors, do you have any questions and clarification of Councillor Strong's presentation? No? Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you.
There are no representations from the applicant, and so I'll go straight to Mr. Ellis and ask Mr. Ellis if he'd like to respond to any issues that have been raised during the presentations. Mr. Ellis.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm just picking up on Councillor Strong's comments about the suggested additional reason on overdevelopment and harm to the character of the village. I was just rereading the first reason for refusal, and it is very much based on rural area and harm to the landscape. And then it does also say that we consider there's going to be harm to the setting of Offaly Conservation Area. And that there's two ways that you could approach that. You could expand reason one to include something along the lines of also a detrimental effect on the character of the village, and is, I think the phrase was, overdevelopment of the site. Or alternatively, you could consider a separate, discrete reason for refusal with that element if you were minded to do so. So there's sort of two ways of looking at that. The members were minded to add in that extra dimension of harm that Councillor Strong is suggesting. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Before we go into debate, then I think it would be useful for members to consider whether they would like this to be a strong extra condition as a reason for refusal, and then debate it on that. Are you happy with that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. What I would like then is a proposal along the lines of Councillor Strong's eloquent proposal as a further reason for refusal due to the size and position this would be detrimental to the village.
I'm happy to propose it unless Councillor Faye Frost would like to. She's the local ward councillor, but happy to move it.
I'm sure if you'd like to move it, Councillor Frost, would you like to second that?
I think that probably is.
Councillor Fulbright.
So that has been proposed and seconded by Councillor Frost. So we will take that as a secondary issue then. Would you like that to be included in our debate as a further condition? Those in favour, please. Those against? Those who are abstaining? Right. Okay, that's going to carry. And so we'll go into debate then, councillors. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councillor Paul Clark. Firstly, can I thank the planning officers for bringing them to us in this manner due to where we find ourselves with it, so thank you for that. Can I seek clarification on about 3 points? Under 3.0, representation, 3.1, Offaly Parish Council, the first bullet point, objects to a proposal on various grounds which include residents not having been consulted. Could the officers please explain that slightly more? 3.14, Thames Water, I believe it was Chris Cowley who said it was an early application, because Thames Water seemed to suggest that they should be approached for pre-development inquiry. Can I clarify with officers whether they should have done that before they submitted the application? Again, 3.2, Hertfordshire Highways say they have no problems, but subject to imposing conditions. So there is obviously some issues, I take it, from that. And the last point, I know Mr. Ellis said about the weight we can give to the emerging local plan, but as time is going on, we are able to give more and more weight to it. So can I suggest that we as a council give more and more weight to that? So the green belt element is part of that, our discussions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Do we have the other councillors who would like to comment? Councillor Smith.
Thank you, Chair. It's Adrian Smith. I note paragraph 3.6, which refers to the affordable housing obligation, and I note the normal council requirement, which is 40%, which the developer, I understand, is agreeing to meet, and that our normal policies require 65% rented or affordable rented accommodation, with the other 35 being another form of tenure. It states here that the requirement would be for 28 affordable dwellings, 18 for rent, and 10 for other intermediate tenure. But obviously we don't have a section 106 agreement in place, as outlined at 4.3.47. So I just wanted to ask Mr. Ellis what the position is where we don't have an agreement or an undertaking in place. It appears the developer has indicated that they've agreed to the 40%, but have they agreed to what that 40% will be? And if they haven't, what weight does our policy have in if we went forward obliging them to provide at least 65% social and affordable rented accommodation rather than perhaps 100% starter homes, which wouldn't be affordable to many?
First and foremost, I will ask Mr. Ellis to answer that question as if it came from another councillor. And I did write back after the start of this debate on this subject, so you will not be able to vote on this one because you haven't been able to the debate. Am I right? Thank you. If I can ask Mr. Ellis to answer that question, and at the same time perhaps you'd like to answer Councillor Collins as well. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I'll answer Councillor Clark's questions first, if I may, and then I'll address these four points as well. on the first point, paragraph 3.1, Offaly Parish Council, first point is residents have not been consulted. I think that goes back to something Claire Sprong mentioned in her address, which is that this applicant had not behaved in a way that a conventional house builder would behave. They haven't sought public exhibitions and done the normal element that you would require of a statement of community involvement. Unfortunately, there isn't a sort of legislative requirement for them to do that, and there's no planning policy position. So you wouldn't be able to refuse planning permission because the developer hasn't done public consultation. But I do understand the frustration that there's not been any real public engagement with the local community before this application was put in. So on the second point about Thames Water, I mean, they have their own regulatory regime about ensuring water services to developers, and they would require, if developer were to go ahead on this site, any developer would need all the licenses to get connections to the water system, and I think that's, they're just reminding you that that's not been done, and it stands to reason really that they wouldn't do it because they haven't even designed the houses yet. If you take a look at the scheme up there, so that's fairly straightforward. On point three, the Highway Authority are recommending conditions, and what that means is that if you can address an issue via a condition, then you shouldn't put it in as a reason for refusal. So when you refuse planning permission, if it went to an appeal, in fact it already is in the realms of an appeal, what the council would do, what the Highway Authority would do, is present all of those conditions to the inspector. And then if the inspector was somehow minded to grant planning permission, the inspector would have to judge whether or not they wanted to impose those conditions. So that discussion continues through the appeal process. And then on the weight to the emerging local plan, I mean, we've been quite careful in our report on that. And one of the reasons why we wanted to wait a little bit longer before we presented this application to you, originally we were scheduling for the December committee, is because we wanted to see whether or not we could glean anything from the early stages of the examination. As it happens, I don't think we would have gleaned a great deal because I think the inspector's his cards quite close to his chest and isn't going to reveal a lot until the modifications. But as you can see in recommended reason for refusal 1, we have included policy SP5, which deals with greenbelt. But rather than have it as an explicit, this is in the greenbelt, and there are no very special circumstances, we've just laid it in there as a suggestion. And one of the things I was talking about earlier is that the timing of this is interesting, because if planning appeals take a long time at the moment, there's a big backlog in the appeal system, which is why we haven't had a start date yet. If we have a hearing, say, in June next year, it's a possibility that the local plan may progress further, and we'll be able to apply more weight to it. So what I was saying earlier is what we may need to change our position is that it's quite possible we're going to strengthen the position of refusal. If the inspector concludes that the greenbelt review is acceptable and decides that he does agree, that the council can create this wider expanse of greenbelt within the district, then we'll be able to inform the inspector in relation to this appeal that our position on the refusal is strengthened as a result. So then on to the affordable housing issue. Well, the applicant has agreed, if you were minded to grant planning permission, they have agreed that they will provide 40% affordable housing, and they've agreed that 65% of it would be affordable rent or social rent, and then 35% would be over 10 years. And that's bang in line with the policy requirement. The reason why there's a recommended refusal on that issue is because at this moment there is no legal agreement in place. And normally in these situations, it takes many months to finish that off. And if we were in a positive relationship with the applicant and we were seeking to reach a point where we would possibly be able to recommend approval, officers would be working on that and we would be presenting this application to you much later down the line when the affordable housing position was secure. So it's just a matter of timing. The Section 106 agreement is not in place. Now it's likely that if the appeal continues, that the appellant will want the council to continue to work on a 106 agreement, and it is possible that reason of refusal would fall away later down the line. I think it would be duty bound to do that. We'd need to show that we're still willing participants in the process. We wouldn't be able to just stop talking to them even if you refused that permission this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Frost. Sorry, Councillor Booth, would you like to speak?
Yeah. I said the word. John Booth. It's this statement, power statement anyway, from Thames Water, that 70 dwellings will bring them near to the limited capacity of foul drainage. If this were to go ahead, would that have an impact on any other area that we have included in the local plan, and would therefore render some of the areas in our local plan then unsustainable because there would be no capacity?
I don't think I can answer that question with any degree of accuracy, but it's a matter of sequencing. If for some whatever reason this development went ahead and the developer then started building the scheme and it was plugged into the local infrastructure, then any planning applications that come in subsequently, even if they are local plan sites, if that becomes a problem, then it may there's a possibility that it could in the future develop. But the thing is, that's not really a planning issue. It's a matter that the water authorities are statutory required to take into account. They almost have to allow development to take place, and the developer usually just ends up paying a big sum, and then the water authorities figure it all out later down the line.
Thank you. Before I give you a call upon Councillor Frost, who I'm sure will probably sign up as much as anything, I'd just like to mention, I was at a seminar last Tuesday, and it was concerning affordability, which has always been a little bit of a cloudy issue. What is affordable? What is affordable in one area may not be affordable in another area. What is affordable for one person may not be affordable for the next person. And in a very broad brush, affordable housing would be a repayment of 25% of your gross monthly income. So you would be then, let us suppose that you were earning £1,200 per calendar month gross, you would be expected then to pay up to £300 per week from your net income. So I think probably in this instance, we're talking about Offaly, we're talking about prices. We know what prices were like because we saw the crowd edge development across the road there. No houses on this new site, if it were to be granted, would be available to youngsters within the village who would like to stay within the village because it would just be out of their financial grasp. Affordable to some, but not to the people who need it most. So, the other, so if they were wanting to buy, again, affordable would be something like 25% discount off of the asking price of a normal house on the market. I consider this to be opportunist. I've been a ward councillor for 26 years. This is unwanted, it's unneeded, it's unnecessary. Offaly has had its community increase considerably over the last couple of years, 63 houses and all of the occupants of that. There is no requirement for further or larger development. It would affect the total community. It would affect the outlook. The whole feeling of the village would just be lost forever. It's a historic village going back to King Offa. Council, you'll probably remember it. The whole ethos of the village would be lost if this would be developed. It would become a dormitory village. People would buy the houses there because they could afford to move out of London or more expensive areas. They could afford to buy those houses, and they'll be leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning to go down to the station to get on the train to go to London and commute. They'll come back in the evening, and on weekends they'll be entrenched in their gardens or doing whatever. It would wreck the community. I personally think it was a very bad move. I would be voting against it, and I would urge us to do the same. I will now ask Councillor Fay Frost if you would like to address the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Barnard. Before I start, I just wanted to share my thoughts with everyone on this proposal. But I would like to declare that my husband's family farms part of the land that is included in the proposal. However, I have no pecuniary interest and can confirm my husband is no longer part of this business. I look at Mr. Ellis to make sure that I can continue with this.
I have put the question, and you are okay.
Within the last few years, Offaly has received over 70 new houses, 63 of which were located at Garden Fields, which brought new life and housing opportunities to the village. In the officer's report, 4.2.4 outlines main points from the applicant's planning statement. It details that the proposal will deliver a range of benefits, including affordable housing, which has been brought up a number of times tonight. This was also promised by the last developer with the aim of giving young people who live in the village with their parents the chance and the opportunity to purchase property and remain in Offaly. But when I questioned them at the open event, a two-bedroom property was priced well over £300,000, and that was a good number of years ago. So I question, affordable for who? With another large development, Offaly is likely to become a commuters' village, thus having a detrimental effect on the local shops, pubs, businesses and the wider community. 4.2.5 of the officer's report highlights social, economic and environmental benefits of the development as stated by the applicant. Bullet point 10 suggests that there is a potential relocation of the private allotments that currently are on this site. The allotments in Offaly were once situated where Garden Fields now stands. They were relocated to the land of north of Luton Road within the last few years. I cannot claim to be a podologist, but I do have a small understanding of soil and soil nutrients and can sympathise with the allotment holders who have spent time and money to condition the soil on this site. It would be disastrous for them to have to move to another virgin site so soon, especially with the fear of history repeating itself. The proposed new location would also restrict those who own and enjoy the allotments but do not drive from continuing to do so. The last bullet point outlines a new retail outlet. Offaly has a well-established village shop with an integrated post office. Offaly shop is at the heart of the village and is fully supported by locals residing in Offaly and the neighbouring villages, including Cocknoe and Lilley. To remove the shop and replace it with a standard chain retail store will completely alter the character of the settlement and destroy one of the village's most endeared facilities. North Hertfordshire's emerging local plan does not allocate this site for development. Furthermore, the land north of Luton Road is included as part of the extended green belt. I've read the report and I struggle to see any special circumstances surrounding this application that would warrant development in the Greenbelt. Having studied the area proposed for development, it is evident that part of the land included is of agricultural use. I further question if such development on high-grade agricultural land is acceptable when there is no proven local need for a further 70 houses. Offaly is a small village set in the countryside adjacent to an area of outstanding natural beauty. Such a vast development as the one before us tonight will have a huge detrimental impact on local residents, businesses and the wider community. The application made does not include a draft 106 document. I fear that insufficient or even no financial aid will be given to negate the effects of this development, with particular reference to the village primary school, which is already bursting at its seams. For these reasons and many, many more, I agree with the officer's recommendation for refusal.
Councillor Clark. Could you pass through my letter to Councillor Clark, please?
Councillor Paul Clark, having listened to the debate and mindful of the evidence we put in front of us, I'm happy to move the officer's recommendation for refusal for all five conditions.
For five reasons.
For five reasons, thank you very much. Councillor Frost, do you wish to second that?
Happy to second, Chair.
Thank you very much. And so the... Ms. Reynolds wishes to address.
Yeah, I just need to exact clarification on a few reasons for refusal. I'm just going to give you a bit of advice. Is that the so far the appellant has requested that the appeal is heard by a public inquiry. So, I don't think there needs to be a public inquiry because I don't think we need to present technical evidence and none of the reasons for refusal, other than the archaeology and the flood, wouldn't be our responsibility to present that evidence anyway. But it's just worth bearing in mind that we may need to be cross-examined on each reason for refusal if it does become a public inquiry. And you also have to bear in mind that this is an outline application and you do have control over future design of buildings and layout. So it might be difficult to be very specific about design because the inspector's going to say, well, you've got control over design at a later date. But I've been sort of playing around with some wording.
Chairman, my reasoning for the big one was not about design, it was on the size.
Yes.
I hear what you say, and I think Mr. Ellis will take this into consideration. I do understand it, but thank you for coming out.
So, in that context, I think we do need to record the exact wording of what it is that you're adding in there. And I appreciate the clarification from Claire Strong, because I think she's made an important point. We're not talking about detailed design, so you need to stray away from that. But my suggested wording here is, in the opinion of the local planning authority, the proposed development would harm the character and appearance of the nearby village and the rural area beyond by reason of overdevelopment of the site and poor layout in relation to the character and layout of the village. The proposal therefore conflicts with policy 57 of the North Hertfordshire local plan, that's the old local plan, and paragraph 64 of the National Planning Policy Framework, because your old local plan policy still gives you quite a lot of input on that. It talks about character and siting and things like that. Of course, that's still the development plan as we speak. So that would be my suggestion. Just a word of caution is that if it is a public inquiry, the council has to give evidence to support every reason for refusal that you propose.
Mr. Chairman, I'm fully aware that as the proposer I'm in the firing line, I have no problem with that. What I wrote down when Claire Strong said it was size of development and out of character, and that was when the comments were made in the presentation. But I kindly accept Mr. Ellis's words because they're far more professional and eloquent than I would put forward. I know you're going to say surely not, but I would put that forward.
Of course, you always agree with officers, councillors, for that. I think we're probably what we're trying to get across here is we're not talking about the design, we're not talking about the layout, we are talking about its absolute being there, its position, and the detrimental effect that we'll have on not only the community but the wider land and area. So, if I could ask the officers on this occasion, as we are in a court, to maybe sort of call up, are you happy to do that, Mr. Ellis?
I think that wording covers that because it's quite general, and then you, in an appeal context, you can draw out particular elements that you're concerned about. Of course, this is recommended for refusal, so. I don't have to tell you that you've got to defend it because it's an act on it, because we have to do that for you.
Okay, well, I'm sure the members of the public are sitting in bated breath waiting for your vote. It has been proposed and recommended for refusal. This has been proposed by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Faye Frost. May I please have your votes for those in favour of refusal for the five reasons. That is unanimous. Thank you very much. I know that you're absolutely enthralled with our processes. We'd love you to stay here the rest of the evening. But if you felt that you needed to go back to London to celebrate, you're very, very welcome to.
However, the applicant submitted an updated noise assessment report also on the 1st of November, and whilst this was forwarded to Environmental Health, it was not taken into account in their response back. Environmental Health have now been reconsulted and asked to clarify, based on a revised noise assessment report, if they still wish to maintain their objection based on noise, or if they are now in a position to recommend approval subject to conditions. The second point, neighbour views, I received replies from six local neighbours. Four raised strong objection to the application on the basis that the land is greenbelt and any further development in this location will merge the towns of Letchworth and Waldock. Further objections are also raised on the basis of Hadrian Way not being able to cope with any more traffic and that the noise from the motorway will put off people wanting to move to properties in this location. Two local views that come in support state that they consider providing new bungalows for people wishing to downsize would be good. I'll go through the site quickly. The site is this area here. So this is Kingsfield, the original building. This is the side garden area and it's been separated from Kingsfield into its own separate planning unit. The proposal is for 6 two-bedroom bungalows set around the line, 4 detached and 2 are semi-detached. And a couple of graphics showing the proposed form and layout. So I'll go back to the area of the site because that's the best one to talk to. Okay. The application, as I said, is seeking full planning permission for 6 bungalows. The site is within the greenbelt, and greenbelt policy is set out in the NPPF. This sets out the 5 purposes of greenbelts, as well as what type of new development is considered to be acceptable within greenbelts, or what development should be considered to be inappropriate development. In this instance, the proposal is considered to be inappropriate development within the greenbelt. This section of greenbelt forms an important green wedge between the towns of Letchworth and Waldock to stop them from merging together. This proposal would erode a large section of open land within this important wedge of greenbelt and can be considered to be contrary to one of the main purposes of designated greenbelts, which is to stop towns from merging together. I note that the applicant is arguing that this proposal is infill development on previously developed land and therefore is not considered to be an appropriate development. However, as set out in paragraph 4.3.7 of my report, the NPPF states that for infill development to be acceptable within greenbelts, it must be within a village, which this site is not. The NPPF also sets out a definition of what land can be considered to be previously developed land. This states that the land must have been occupied by a permanent structure. In this instance, the permanent structure, which is Kingsfield itself, is outside of the application site, and therefore this land has to be considered as a greenfield site. The application is therefore recommended for fees on the basis of it being inappropriate development in the greenbelt that would be harmful to greenbelt openness and would erode this important section of greenbelt separating the towns of Letchworth and Waldock. Members are asked to support officer recommendation. However, please note that tonight you are being asked to make a recommendation subject to further response from Environmental Health. If members support the recommendation, the resolver refuses application, and if the objection from Environmental Health is maintained, an additional reason for refusal based on noise will be added. However, if members resolve to grant planning permission, and if the response back from Environmental Health is no objection subject to conditions, then these conditions will also be added before the decision is dispatched. The other scenario is in the event that committee resolved to grant, but Environmental Health still object, and the application will have to be brought back to committee for final determination. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a registered speaker this evening, first I'd like to introduce and welcome Councillor Michael Weeks, who will speak as a member advocate. Councillor Weeks.
Good evening, Chairman. Good evening, colleagues. First of all, I have to declare an interest as a near neighbour to this proposed development. Chairman, we have to look at this proposed development in the round, not only the land itself, but the whole parcel of the Green Belt here, which includes the land to the south. Whilst the proposed development in isolation will affect very few people, save for perhaps the addition of 30 car movements on an access road which can barely pass two vehicles anyway, it is the wider aspect where it is concerned. The site itself is tucked away, out of sight, little known to the public. However, Chairman, the issue is the precedent it will set by not only encroaching onto the Green Belt, but also encouraging the coalescence of Birchworth and Alderley. Chairman, it's a situation where if we give an inch, the rest will follow. We are already aware of a developer who owns land to the south, where if a building is demolished, it will give access to the Green Belt area to the south. I say to you, Chairman, we value the separation of our towns, and I'm sure that upon reflection, my learning colleague who called this matter in would not wish to go down in history as the man who joined the two towns together. Turning briefly to NPPF in Section 9, which lists the purposes of the Green Belt, one of which states to prevent neighbouring towns merging into one. There are, of course, exceptions to the Green Belt policy, which we all know, and these are shown in 435 of the Office report. However, it's pertinent to note that the lack of bungalows in an area is not one of them. Further, Chairman, I think my learned colleague has somewhat misinformed himself when talking about downsizes to these proposed bungalows. When you consider that these were likely going to cost in excess of £500,000, I say to you that is some downsizing. If my colleague feels that strongly about the lack of bungalows in Baldock, then he should bring pressure to bear on developers of the 3,800 houses or dwellings that are proposed within Baldock. In summary, Chairman, I say this development is not appropriate for the Green Belt. It is not an exception to the Green Belt policy, as detailed in NPPF 435. And it is detrimental to the separateness of Baldock and Letchworth. I trust the committee will agree to the officer's recommendation to review the committee.
If you could just wait for one moment, please. Members, do you have any questions of clarification on Councillor Weeks' presentation? Councillor Mantle.
Councillor Mantle. And could you please clarify which bit you were talking about south of the site that is Green Belt?
That's the long gardens.
It is to the
south.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Thank you, Councillor Weeks.
Thank you.
I'd now like to welcome and invite Mr. Fraser Hickling to address as the applicant's agent. Good evening, sir. Welcome.
Good evening. Is that okay? Is that clear? Yeah. Okay, thank you for the opportunity to address the committee this evening. My name is Fraser Hickling from Phillips Planning Services. I'm here to speak in support of the application for the erection of 6 single-storey retirement dwellings at Kingsfield. Members will hopefully receive correspondence from us setting out our position, and my speech will reiterate the points raised. The proposal is situated on a vacant parcel of land associated with Kingsfield, former religious commercial office building that has recently been converted to 12 residential apartments, with ancillary outbuildings being replaced by a further 3 shallow bungalows. Leaving aside the acoustic matter that has been mentioned, which can be resolved and information has been provided within the most recent mitigation report, members will note that the scheme is recommending refusal of a single reason regarding the Greenbelt location. An assessment against Greenbelt policy is about making fine judgments on whether something can or cannot be argued in a particular way. What is it the case that we're making? We have set out to the council that there's 2 ways they can look at this. Either it was in the filling and therefore appropriate within the green belt, or there are a number of countervailing factors that cumulatively can be assessed as being very special circumstances. The infilling argument. The courts have determined that assessing infilling is a matter of judgment against the facts of an individual case, not just in respect of policy regarding infilling within villages. Infilling a gap within a built-up area is not considered to be inappropriate development. In this regard, the proposed development site is surrounded on 3 sides by existing development in built form, with development also visible from the site to the north. I think there is an argument this can be considered as infill. Further strength can be added to the case if you accept the notion that this is previously developed land. The land was part of the Kingsfield site which has been developed. If it was acceptable as previously developed land, then it specifically meets one of the policy criteria, and again can be considered not an appropriate development. We think this is a strong argument on its own and sufficient to enable approval. Alternatively, we have set out that there are a number of factors which cumulatively add up to very special circumstances, and these have been set out within the planning statement. It is considered that these material circumstances outweigh any identified harm and also comply with the principle of Greenbelt policy. Our assessment against harm is as follows. The site is contained by existing built form and makes no contribution to containing the built-up area. There is no sprawl. The existing development surrounding the site already merges the settlements in the context of this location. The proposal does not result in a merger of the 2 towns. The site is surrounded by development and is not in the open countryside. The site is not located within or adjacent to the conservation area of either Letchworth Garden City or Baldock, therefore protecting the special character of those towns. It is arguably the use of vacant developed land and is well related to both Baldock and Letchworth Garden City, both physically and functionally, resulting in regeneration. It is therefore considered that the harmful impact of the development on the principle and function of the Greenbelt would be limited, and we believe there are other material considerations which amount to very special circumstances. These are as follows. The site is in a highly sustainable location. The proposal is for the specific provision of retirement properties. The specific provision of these dwelling types is not being met elsewhere, and yet the Council's Strategic Housing Market Assessment identifies a growing need for this dwelling type, and a condition can be employed as a suitable mechanism to manage occupation of the dwellings. The Council also has a marginal housing land supply, and the provision of 6 dwellings will make a valuable contribution to housing delivery. The proposal includes a number of detailed improvements to the access arrangements, including enhancements to legibility for pedestrians and cyclists. This results in improvement to highway safety. There are also landscape and biodiversity enhancements delivered through the new layout and supplementary planting schemes. It is considered that cumulatively these considerations would outweigh the harm, if any, which would result in the development of the site. We believe that the provision of single-storey retirement dwellings meets an important need that is not being addressed elsewhere, and this alone weighs substantially in favour of the proposal. For confirmation, the applicant has no objection to an occupation condition. We would therefore conclude that it has been demonstrated in principle that development of the site would not be contrary to Greenbelt policy. We therefore kindly request that planning permission is granted. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. If you'd like to just hang on for 1 moment. Councillors, do you have any questions or clarification of Mr. Edgeworth's presentation? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Councillor Muir, at this point, before I ask Mr. McDonald to respond to any issue raised, would you like to make a declaration and your speech?
Thank you. I've been told tonight that I can debate this, but I can't vote because the calling sort of people could say that I've already made up my mind prior to the meeting. First of all, the reason for calling was stated on the top of the page, and it says at the end, areas being built in within the district. In actual fact, I said within or not. So that just needs to be altered there. I hope you've all read this letter that you received from PPS, which I totally agree with, their findings on the infill on the last bit of Greenbelt within Borlock, within the town of Borlock. The land north of the convent is Greenbelt in Letchworth Garden City. Now I would like to return to the issue of the bungalows in Borlock to downsize. 45 of bungalows in North Arts are owned by North Arts Homes, 3 are owned by Howell Cottage, so that's 48. There are another 30 bungalows in Borlock in private ownership. So there is a crying out shortage of bungalows within our town. I would like to look at the map that you all have now. And so the committee can appreciate the situation. Looking from west to east along the Borlock Road, starting at Jubilee Industrial Estate, Letchworth, there is no green belt between Borlock and the industrial area, which presumably you would normally have. The first house in Borlock going from behind the Jubilee Estate, there are 27 residential properties up to the A1M, and that included those in Hadrian Way. The Greenbelt land starts at the back of Hadrian Way, where the convent buildings used to be. The convent had been converted to 12 apartments and 3 new bungalows have been built behind the old convent ground. The land to the north of the tree line that separates Borlock and Letchworth Garden City, there is a small amount of land, that is Greenbelt, which goes along Works Road from the old Irish Club towards the motorway. The site of the application for 6 bungalows in the site of the old convent grounds abuts the A1M. I believe that this infill makes perfect sense as it is tracked land by the A1M to the west and to the south and east are all housing. The office report on 4311, elderly accommodation, if the committee is mindful to pass this application, I would like a condition that the 6 bungalows can only be bought by people over 55 and hopefully living in Borlock. Also, a condition I would like to see would be the retention of the trees on the north side of the land, which is the division between Bulldog and Letchworth Garden City.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor. You conclude your presentation now. Can I ask you now to leave the room, Councillor?
Leave the room or just literally leave?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Or just stand down there. Leave the room. Right, thank you.
Two points I'd like to say, going back to the presentation by Mr. Hickey. The first point is that if the agent was describing the area as built up, and if you do take the term built up literally, within the NPPF there is a definition of what constitutes previously developed land, and it specifically says that within built up areas, garden areas must be excluded from being considered previously developed land. So there's a slight flaw in the argument that he's putting forward to us. And also, when we look at the very special circumstances argument within the Greenbelt context, the test of very special circumstances has to be that the situation has to be so special it cannot be easily repeated elsewhere. In my view, a proposal of retirement bungalows can be easily repeated elsewhere in the Greenbelt. And I would strongly suggest and advise that this is not a very, cannot be considered to be a very special circumstance to give any significant weight to. Going to Councillor Mead's presentation, I don't know if members would be interested to see a larger scale plan of the Greenbelt stretching up. Mr. Ernest Leslie here for a proposed urban plan. So the Greenbelt actually runs all the way up. So for the way Councillor Mead described it, I think he indicated that the Greenbelt didn't start down here, but actually this whole wedge, this whole wedge is within the Greenbelt. So these houses are within the Greenbelt, as is the A1M, as is this area of open land up here. So this whole area is a sort of pinch point between the two towns where the Greenbelt then widens out again to the north of this and to the south of this.
Wait a moment or two while the map is being demonstrated. Just to keep you working, I wonder, Mr. Ellis, before we end with the debate, would you please expand upon the NPPF terminology concerning the Green Belt and in context of the Level Plan 2 and the policy there for the Green Belt? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I mean, it's very well covered in the report, and Anne has touched on the analysis, but essentially Greenbelt is one of the few areas where the NPPF does actually give you a very clear roadmap as to how you assess applications, and it really is quite rigid, and you'll find when you get to appeal situations, inspectors are really quite strict on how you've got to interpret it. Basically, you have to firstly ask yourself, is this inappropriate development? And the only basis upon which this could not be inappropriate development, as put forward by the applicant, is that they're saying it's infill, or they just use the term infill. So as Anne pointed out, the exceptions to inappropriate development under paragraph 89 of the NPPF the only two that you could remotely put this in is one limited infilling in villages and limited affordable housing for local community needs. Well, this is between two towns, it's not the village, it's not affordable housing either to meet an identified community needs. So you're not talking about a rural exception site. And then the other sort of confusing one that they're trying to suggest it applies is the limited infilling or the partial or complete redevelopment of previously developed sites. Well, that site doesn't have any buildings on it, so it isn't a previously developed site. And the purpose of that suggestion on infilling, what it means is if you were to look at a previously developed site, you wouldn't necessarily have to follow the pattern of existing buildings. You could infill some of the buildings between, but the entire site is open and is not previously developed land. So when you conclude that it is not, that this is inappropriate development, and our analysis is very clear that this is inappropriate development in the Green Belt, you have to weigh, are there any very special circumstances that may outweigh the presumption against development in the inappropriate development in the Green Belt? And as Donald has said, the argument that providing retirement bungalows or bungalows for people to downsize and meeting a need that may not be met elsewhere, if that's an argument for very special circumstances, then that can be repeated time and again throughout the Green Belt, because it's a matter of fact that we're not providing enough bungalows in the district. But that doesn't therefore mean let's put all those bungalows in the Green Belt location. So put simply, I cannot see an argument. Firstly, I don't believe that it is not, I believe it is in the development, and I can't see it on the very special circumstances either. That's why our recommendation is clear in this situation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Councillors. Councillor Booth.
John Booth. Yes, I fully understand this the risk we would have of further development of the Green Belt, particularly in this area. North and east of this site is Green Belt. And if we say that, well, it's all right to build on the first one, well, I cannot see any reason why we could refuse building on the remainder. And it would completely change the border between Metcalfe and Bulldog.
Thank you, Councillor. Could you pass it to Councillor Clark, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councillor Paul Clark, can I just seek clarification on the status of the land in the emerging local plan? Is it still Green Belt?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hunter, is there a microphone for Councillor Hunter, please?
Yeah, there's another one. Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I've read this in detail. Thank you kindly for a large map. You give an indication that the wedge is getting somewhat smaller and smaller between that particular two connotations, as far as border connection is concerned. But I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation and move, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Frost?
Carried out the works to Kingsfield.
So issues that have been raised before me regarding the works traffic, I think, could be negated with their previous works. I'm trying to listen to everyone's point of view, really, to see which way to vote on this. The feedback from the community, as Councillor Newham has said, there is a proven need for the bungalows in the area to allow local residents to downsize and remain in the area. I'd be interested to hear what anyone else has to say regarding the greenbelt and the special circumstances before we vote.
Thank you. Councillor Hill.
Thank you, Chairman. One of the main purposes of the greenbelt, as stated on page 25, is to prevent neighbouring towns merging into another. If this application was to be approved, that would be doing exactly that. I think Councillor Weeks, in his presentation, has summed up exactly how I feel about this application, and I'd like to second the proposal that's been made to refuse and support the officers.
Thank you. Councillor Mentor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is this working?
No. Can you use the table?
It's behind you.
Yeah, it did sound as if it wasn't working. There's an element, of course, of stable law in this. It's all very well talking about avoiding coalescence between two towns, but if you just look at the map we've got in front of us, they're already coalescing. There is not a single gap between the industrial area of Jubilee Road estate and the houses on the Bulldog Road. So what we're doing is trying to stop any further encroachment, presumably. It's always struck me as odd that this area, apart from the fact it's odd, this area stayed in Bulldog and they've never rectified the boundaries since the motorway was built. But it's this particular field, I feel very ambivalent about whether it's actually adding too much to the separation of the towns. That is, of course, assuming the separation of the towns is in itself a desirable objective. We can have that discussion some other time. But it seems to me that this little enclave of Bulldog to the west of the motorway is a sort of almost like a little self-contained bit of the town. It's not really part of Bulldog. It's certainly not separated from Lechworth. If there's a separation of any kind, it's the motorway embankment. And on that subject, I would just make a small point from personal experience. I used to stay regularly in a flat which was at the foot of the embankment of the M3. You couldn't hear it. So I think the environmental health people need to think carefully before recommending refusal on noise grounds. But as far as this is concerned, I think that we've got to recognise facts that this little enclave is already there. One more little field, and it probably does minimal damage. If we start talking about expanding to the north, then possibly the case is rather stronger, but that is part of Lechworth, part of my ward, actually. I think that we need to face facts and reality, and I'm not at all confident that keeping this field open or undeveloped is actually adding anything to the value of the area in which it's situated.
Thank you. The observation I would like to make here, and the danger, as everybody knows, I'm a very strong advocate of the retention of the Greenbelt. I'm fighting East of Luton, as you very well know. I'm looking at the map there, and I'm looking at the site, and yes, I have sympathy with the fact that it's a fairly useless slab of land, isn't it? But it is Greenbelt, and it is there to prevent, or help prevent, further coalescence. Yes, there may well be a certain amount of coalescence there, but those properties are within the Greenbelt. This field is in the Greenbelt, and whilst I see that there would be no great harm in building and motorways on this particular site, it has the great danger of opening floodgates further to the north and beyond. Where do you stop? If you allow this, I think you would then potentially have a problem where other developers for the fields above would come along and say, well, you allow that, and you've set a precedent, I think you possibly ought to allow us as well. Now, I have a proposal for refusal, that's Councillor Hunter, and it's been seconded by Councillor Hill. Before I take it, are there any other members who would like to speak?
Chair, I just want to take this opportunity.
Councillor Shanley.
Charles Shanley, I certainly do endorse the statement that you just made, Mr. Chairman. I know we're always in a conundrum in terms of development, and especially development of greenfield sites. I agree with Councillor Frost in terms of between a rock and a hard place. But listening to all of the debates and contributions to the meeting here tonight, I will certainly be voting against the proposal.
Thank you. So if there are no other contributions, I'd like to go to the vote, please. This has been proposed by Councillor Hunter, seconded by Councillor Hill. The proposal and recommendations for refusal. Those in favour of refusal, please. Thank you. Those in favour of granting. Okay. That has been refused. We'll move on then to page number 31, item number 9. Shall we get Michael Beery or what?
Thank you.
Could I encourage members to return to their seats, please? Can I hasten you, please? You move on. Councillor Wiggs, can you not distract, please, my members?
I'll just save the council.
I think Councillor Weeks is not Councillor Weeks, Councillor Hunter is indisposed. Ah, although he's not sitting down, we can start. Thank you. And so on to item number 9, page 31. To discuss and debate Bulldog Services, Great North Road, Bradwell, and welcome to Joe Cutters. I'm sorry we kept you waiting. Would you please introduce the report?
Thank you, Chairman, and members of the public. This item comes before you due to the site area being over a hectare. It's Bulldog Services, which I think most of you don't travel up and down the A1M will be aware of. It's this area in here, and it's to do with the car parking, which they want to improve. I'll be watching the slides, there's no updating on this item. These are just a few slides that are just taken to give an impression of the existing car parking and layout. This one's the view from the lorry park, view into the lorry park. Again, across the road, park towards the petrol station. View across this is the grass amenity area towards the front of the site, furthest away from the amenity building. That's the area that they intend to place with more car parking. This is a typical view through the existing car parking on the site. And again, another view, some of the grassed areas back towards the main amenity building. That's the hotel building, and a view from that point looking back towards the main entrance from roundabout. Another car park layout. This is the existing layout of the site, and we want this plan here, which shows revised coach parking here, better improved lorry parking, and new car parking layout. In this area. Also within this area that continued to caravan parking, which was previously within the lorry park, and found that didn't work, and that would be in these great double length bays. This is the planting plan on site. It actually hasn't come out as clearly as I would have thought it would, but they intend to replace that landscaping planted on the site. To maintain the amenity value. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. There are no registered speakers. Councillors? Councillor Leon.
Have we got a mic?
Microphone there.
Yeah, I know this site very well. It's up top of where I live.
Yeah.
But I've been in there all different types of houses. The car park is basically full every time I go up there. So I don't mind extra parking there. My only concern is lighting. Can I be assured that all the lighting in the car parks will be low intensity, pointing down to the ground with no spillage to the air? Because looking up there from Bulldog, if we don't have the right lighting, it will be a bright light in the sky as far as Bulldog is concerned. So hopefully you can confirm that that will be so.
Yes, I do confirm that. They have sent in a lighting plan which shows the spillage chart. I'm satisfied that it won't cause any serious harm to the amenity of the area. They have provided detailed plans which demonstrate that as part of the application or part of my presentation.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Can I have a proposal? Councillor Matt has proposed the recommendation for granting. Councillor Booth on this occasion has seconded that. Those in favour of granting?
Yes.
That is unanimous. Thank you. And we move then on to page 39, item number 10, which is Kickshot School, and Jeremy, that's you again.
Right, thank you. I do have some updating with this application before I start. Paragraph 3.1 in the report, I stated that St. Nicholas Parish Council didn't have any comments to make. That was in error. The Parish Council have contacted me to say that they didn't actually receive a consultation on this. And on checking, we discovered it was an administrative error and has now been rectified and they have been formally consulted. Unfortunately, their consultation period will run beyond the meeting until the 29th of November. So I would like, therefore, like to advise that the recommendation at 6.1 in the report be changed to read that subject to no new material planning considerations being raised by the Parish Council by the 29th of November 2017, that planning permission be granted subject to the conditions that were set out in the recommendation. I'll proceed to the slide show. Kingshot School main buildings are in this area here. They have playing fields that I'm highlighting at the moment, a new access road that runs up here into a car parking area, and some more formal sports pitches which have just recently been constructed. The school have had opportunity to purchase this additional piece of rough agricultural land. That's how the agent has described it. It is within the green belt. They wish to change the use of that to within the school. These are some photographs of the site. It's not visible from public view, and I apologise for the quality of the photographs that come out a bit dark. It's just basically a vacant piece of field that the company's putting soil across. That's the end of my presentation, thank you.
Thank you. Can I just ask a question? The principal access to this new site, is it from the new road from the Ashbrook Turn, or is it from the main entrance?
They wouldn't need to necessarily get vehicle access to the site. It would be for outdoor recreation and informal sports, like a breakout area to enhance the grounds of the school, and that would be. If you wanted to drive there, it would be from the new access road, it would be the most practical way from the school, it would be on foot through the existing facilities.
Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Councillor Paul Clark. Can I just clarify that there are no buildings or no structures planned for this?
Yeah.
In granting permission, we are not opening the door and the crack that it can come back and leave it open later.
No, the application is purely for the change of use of the land to use within the school for outdoor recreation. I have clarified with the agent in terms of whether there be formal sports pitches, marks, things like that on the ground. It would just be open grass, they need to just be down to grass.
Is it then protected?
It will remain within the green belt and
under school, is the school playing fields bit that changed a couple of years ago, which protects school playing fields a bit more?
That would be down to sporting fields, but we're just looking at change of use of the principal.
Okay. Are there any other comments? May I have a proposal? Councillor Frost and Councillor Hill, that is for granting. Those in favour, thank you very much. That is unanimous. Let's then move on then to the final item, which is item number 11 on page 47, which is to consider the style of house having one lecture at Charlotte City. And Mr. Owens is going to introduce this report. Mr. Owens.
Thank you, Chairman. So this is very straightforward application of placement security fencing. Is outside in Letchworth Avenue 1. That's Avenue 2nd Avenue. And that's the... Yeah, anyway, you know where we are. And then earlier on, Joe and I were trying to work out where Richard took these photographs from. He didn't leave us any notes. We think this one's taken from... In fact, Joe was using Google Earth. We think it's taken from 3rd Avenue, looking into the site. It's just showing you what the sort of security fencing looks like. The actual proposed fencing's in the site itself. Then this second photograph is just looking over, showing you where the car park is, and the fencing's going to go around the edge of the car park, so within the site. And this is looking towards 2nd Avenue, isn't it? Looking forward to Sainsbury's around right here. And then there's the site, so this is the proposal. This is the new fencing contained within the site. There's a new gate here and some replacement fencing around there. Again, this is only in front of you because of the site area. Fairly straightforward development, just looking to improve the security of the site. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Questions, debate, proposals? Councillor Hill's proposed granting. Councillor Green has seconded granting. Those in favour of granting?
Yes.
Thank you very much. That is unanimous again. Members, thank you very much for your debate this evening and your attendance. Our next meeting will be the 14th of December. When are we bringing the minutes?
I'm
Floyd.
Thank you.